Thank you. As the Old Testament, as they led out in worship before they went to battle. And you know what? There's a battlefield going on right now. The enemy wants, you know, the enemy wants your thoughts this morning. The enemy wants your thoughts on something totally contrary to God's word today. Whatever that is, block it out right there. You do it. You take captive every single thought, throw it to the side. God's got a word for you. We're going to read together in a second in John 14, but I want to read John 1. John 1, 14 today. It's a passage that I use. I love the book of John. I like to memorize as much scripture as possible, not to prove that I can memorize, but I hide my word, hide this word in your heart. Because there'll be at times, could be frequently, sometimes it's not as frequent, that you begin to doubt promises in God's word. Maybe God told you something, you go, yeah, but you know what? I just don't see how it's going to take place. Because the word says to open up your supernatural eyes and stop looking at your natural eyes. Because we might live here, but my spirit man is up there. And he's looking down, and God is looking down, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God himself. This is what you need to remind yourself of right here. Right here in John 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came and showed us how to live, fully God, fully man, humbled himself, came a man, showed us how to live. He showed us that we could do this. There's nothing impossible for you. Word says so. We can do this. So together I'd like to read John 14, 12 today through 15. Everyone together now. Very verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. You may be seated this morning. Keep my commands. Who likes rules? Anybody? Come on, who likes rules? Man, just give me the rules. As soon as you walk into someplace, man, just give me the rules of the place. Man, that's all I want to know. I just want to know the rules. That's it. What the most exciting thing? You walk into a facility, man, I want to see what the rules here are before I do anything, before I go any further. Man, just tell me what's supposed to happen. But we've been studying God's word, the rules. Fasting for power. Fasting for clarity, fasting for wisdom. All these things in the Bible it says we could have, but he says, humble yourselves, and I will give unto you. I'm not trying to withhold any single thing. I'm going to give it to you liberally unto you. I want God's plan manifest in my life. I want to know what God's plan is. I want to know, am I doing what is right? God, I want to humble myself before you. I want to spend time with you. I want to show you that I want the answer. Daniel did it. Studied that. Moses did it. Several other characters, not just because they're fasting, but obedience unto God. God prospered them in the way they should go according to his plan. God prospered them. God prospered them. We have to get out of our mindset what prospering means. Prospering is what God said we can have. From family, relationships, from health, and all these different things. When we get locked into money, man, we're going to be chasing money and thinking God blesses us just because I have money. That has nothing to do. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He adds no sorrow to it. When we try to get money ourselves, there's sorrow added to it. But the word says over and over again, if you love me, keep my commands. So as we beat up our bodies the last 7 days, right? We beat ourselves up. We just did this. Fasting and praying. We're now transitioning from milk onto the meat of the word. Milk is something that I get this. I can just take this down. This is no big deal. But meat is totally something. Oh, so different. To a child, when you start going stage one, you guys remember from the bottle to stage one? And they give that little stage one food. It's like, we make that little shake. And you just keep shoving in there. You do the little bumblebee thing. You do the airplane thing. Anything to open up that mouth. You make them laugh and jam it in. Right there you go. It's like, whoo, can't wait to get to stage two. And then there are stages when you go from the milk to the meat. There's stages. Zach and Paige at age 20 and 23, I don't want to take stage one food and boom, just jump it in there. No, you know why? They're eating meat on their own now. They've been trained. They know how to do this. As we understand things in the physical, but the spiritual realm is so, it's paralleled in the same. If we want more responsibilities in the kingdom of God, well, I don't desire to be a pastor. That's great. But you're supposed to be where God has called you to be, growing in the knowledge of who he is. Well, I've been at the same position for 35 years, and I worked with the same two people, and they don't know Jesus. You know what? Grow in the knowledge of who he is. Maybe you were supposed to move 25 years ago. Maybe God wanted to put you somewhere else, but he needs to trust you in the little things in order to give you more responsibility in bigger things. God never sets anyone up to fail. He sets you up to succeed. But we have to know his commands to get that. I'm not super big on titles, but today, for the plurality of reasons, I've titled it Getting On to the Meat of the Word. You get that little Daniel Fast pun? Meat? Okay, all right. So some of you escaped, or you're a carb low right now, so that's fine. Okay, I'm just going to let that grow on you a little bit. But meat is for the more difficult things. Meat is required for our bodies to be strong, to do tasks. God only gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. He's not going to push you out and go do something if you're not ready to do it. But as a result of that, the more we stay and don't desire more things of God and get on and do the principles and the oracles and the precepts and the commandments of God, we stay as babies. We get frustrated at the baby stage of our Christianity. We become apathetic. Who cares about church? I don't do Bible study anymore. Because we've never decided to actually advance in the kingdom of God. We get enough knowledge, but not enough to keep and continue growing. Hebrews 5:12 says, now we ought to be teachers, meaning our lives should be living examples to other people, showing that we're maturing. But now we need that one teaches again the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as we need milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. None wrong when you first get saved. We got to move forward because strong meat, verse 14, belongs to them that are full age. Even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Good and evil. We need to get to ourselves to a place where we can discern good and evil. Well, I don't know. Let me go ask somebody. We need to get to the place where on the meat of the word, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. See, the Holy Spirit is going to direct our steps. He's never going to say anything contrary to the word in John 16. He's going to say, Grant, you know what? My word says don't do that right now. Where the babe who's on the milk, he doesn't even know what that passage is. He doesn't even know. But the word also says, it says, now that you know what sin is sin, well, if you do it, it's wrong. We become accountable. So it takes discipline to follow Jesus Christ. We have to take control of our body, our mind, every single thing about us. We have to start bringing it under reins in the supernatural so the natural man starts to die. Well, I don't like to be restricted, Pastor. This is the most unrestricted way you could live is following Jesus Christ. The restrictions come when you get outside of God's word. Once you start being obedient to his word in all areas, not just in the parts that you understand, but in the parts that you don't understand. We have to become obedient to the words of God even when we don't understand why. But I don't feel like that. Your feelings profit you nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. Oh, you always come up with that one. Sure, it's the one sure, that's God's word. The Bible's there for a reason, and it's to guide our steps, because in the beginning was the Word. He created us, Genesis 1:26, 27, man and image. In his image, he created us. So in order to move on in our faith, we have to become obedient to the Word. We have to become obedient. We have to start training ourselves to be tested. It's interesting, right? 2 weeks ago, when we first started, Power of Fasting, we looked at those scriptures. After the first and second service, someone came up to me and said, I can't give up coffee. I'm going to do the Daniel fast, but I can't give up coffee. I said, it's all right. It's fine. I understand. And you're wondering, wait, was that me? Because actually 500 people came up to me afterwards and said, I can't give up coffee. So if you think I'm telling on you, I probably am. But it was one of 500, so you're in great company. So isn't it amazing? We all know this. So she told me, can't do it. So the second, last week, after the second service, I'm narrowing it down so you can figure out who it is. uh, She's married to Pastor Brooks. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's not what she struggled with. Okay, so. Second service last week, said, okay, all right, I'm convicted. And I said, hey. She goes, not because of what you said, because of what the Word said. She goes, this is what I felt the Spirit saying to me. If I will modify this fast, I will modify His Word. The Daniel fast, God, I want to hear from you, and I'm going to give up that which is okay for me to have. It's not that these things were bad. But how much more so, if I will give up what is okay for me to have, how much easier it is for me to give up what is wrong for me to do? If my spirit, as I buffet my body, as Paul said, if I can give up that which is good for me for a period of time, how much more so can I stand against those things that are bad for me? See, God is training us. Why is He training us? Because there's a test coming. If we fail the test, we go back to the training. We go back onto the milk because we have to understand and get past the milk so we can get on the meat. But if we have problem devouring milk, we're going to stay there for a while and we become stagnant and we become full-grown baby Christians. It's not pretty. So there's a spiritual thing that is happening. For many of you, this is maybe the first time you fast, you said, you know what, a couple times, man, I just couldn't take it. I took a carrot and I dipped it in my jus sauce. I just couldn't take it anymore. It's all right. This is the part where God says, I know you're struggling with this, but this is training. He is faithful and He's just to forgive us. I'm not saying dipping a carrot was a sin. I'm saying it's training for those things that are in the Word, that are His commands. If I can give this up, man, how much more so? Because I want to grow in the knowledge of who He is, and I want to be trusted. If I can be trusted with little things, He can trust me with bigger things. See, King David, you know, King David was not a perfect man. Wasn't perfect, either you and I. But King David actually saw the benefits of God's Word. Just like you and I, we should be perfecting in our faith. In Psalms 119, this is what David said about the commands in God's Word. Oh, how I love your law. I loved it. I love it. I love the law. Oh, Pastor, we're free from that. Jesus came. Woo, I don't have to live by that anymore. That is the farthest thing from the truth. Jesus came. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. I came to give you grace to do that which the law said that we can do. Because there has to be a rule, a guide of measure. Why? Because it protects us from those things. We all have to be on the same page. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't tell me something contrary than He tells my wife. Grant, this is okay for you, but Kelly, this is wrong. No, His Word is true for everybody who reads it. Verse 98, you through your commandments, God through your commands, you make me wiser than my enemies. There is a reason I follow God's Word. He makes me wiser than everybody else. How do I know that? Because we just read in James 2 weeks ago, it says, I can ask for wisdom, He'll give it to me liberally. In Proverbs 4, it says, I should desire to have wisdom. Verse 99, I have better understanding, deeper insight than all my teachers. I'm smarter than my teachers. By now, we should be teachers. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged because I keep your precepts. I hear, receive, I love, and I obey. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word, hearing, receiving, loving, obeying it. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, who cares? Because God wants to move you forward. He wants to move you forward, but I'm okay being a baby. No, you're not. And neither is anyone else around you who's been watching you be a baby for 20 years. That's what Paul said about training this natural man to become supernatural. Paul said, although I'm free in every way from anyone's control, I've made myself a bondservant to everyone so that I may gain the more for Christ. I do this, I train myself, I discipline myself for the sake of the good news, which is the gospel, in order that I may become a participator in it and share with it the blessings along with you. So do not Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Because now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself. So you have an athlete and you can decide if you're going to go into training or not. There's a lot of great athletes. When I grew up, especially in high school, I played ball at Plymouth Salem. There was phenomenal athletes, but they didn't want to take any direction from the coach. They didn't make it. Yeah, but I'm far superior in talent. But you won't listen to those in authority over you because this is a team. It's a team game. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately. He restricts himself in all things. Things what? In the word. Things that you're supposed to restrict yourself from. They do that to win a wreath that will soon wither. But we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that can wither. We're so good at restricting ourselves with our savings, with how to take care of our own bodies. I want to grow up bigger and stronger. And as we get older, now it's just more health and less impact and more cardio. And I got to eat. We're so consumed with the temporal. But Paul says, are we running like a race that can never wither, that our trophies can never die? Because are you thinking heavenly or are you thinking earthly? So like a boxer in verse 26, therefore I don't run with uncertainty, without definite aim. I have an aim, it's God's word. I don't box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. Shadow boxing doesn't do anything for you. Hit the heavy bag, hit the speed bag, have some resistance. Verse 27, but like a boxer, I buffet my body. Now, in a Daniel fast, do not pronounce it buffet. It's hard, isn't it? So your mind plays tricks on you. I buffet my body. Hey, there we go. It's, praise God. No, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly. I discipline it in hardships. I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not standing the test, beyond approved, and rejected as a counterfeit. Paul's disciplining his body. Why? He wants to be prepared. He says, God, you got something better for me, and I need to prepare for what you have in store for me. Because when I train, that means a test will come. And if I pass that test, I get to move on. Because we don't want to become stagnant in our faith. Because the more stagnant you get, the more likelihood is that you will fall off. We have to get to the point just like Paul was. And last week we looked at Samuel. Samuel said, here's your servant, Lord. Isaiah 6:8, he says, here I am, send me. God, I'm ready for this. I've been training, I'm ready. See, we don't want to, oftentimes we don't want to hear from God or we don't even pursue God because we haven't been training. Please don't speak to me because I haven't been reading your word and I don't want to know. Your friends or your spouse comes to me and go, oh, let me read this passage. Let me read this. You're going, I don't want to do that. Why? You haven't been training in a while. So it doesn't even appeal to you. The more you train, the more you desire to be like that. We are to be continuously disciplining or training ourselves because there's a test coming. Once we pass that test, then the cycle begins again. We understand the oracles and the principles of God. We understand how I love that law because it's there to prosper me. And then I move on to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase. Continue perfecting in my faith till Jesus comes back. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in a very little thing, in a very little thing, is faithful also in much. He who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. So you and I have asked Jesus Christ into our hearts. We say, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. We invite him in and says, woo! God, show me how to run my life, prosper me. I just pray you bless me. And I do it. And he goes, that's great. I'm going to do that for you, Grant, but keep my commandments. Is there any other way we could do this, God? Is there any way that you could take care of me and I can just get whatever I ask for and I can just pray? Is there any other way I can do this other than keeping your commands? Isn't it interesting how we really do that? So how do we prepare for his plan, his purpose? How do we get in that training mode? How do we do that? Well, I was in the military, 4 years active, 4 years reserves. Going into the military, you're actually joining a different kingdom. For those of you in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You decide, I want to join that. And once you get there, everything changes. For those of you who grew up in the 80s, we all had mullets. All of us, we had mullets. I went in the 80s and I had long hair. I played tennis. I played basketball. I did all this stuff. And back then, Andre Agassi was big. I had the hat on. I had a ponytail pucked out the back. And I was just like, man, I thought, and I played basketball. I was a big dude. I came in. It's like, yeah, this is awesome. He goes, hey, young man, take your hat off. What are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to shave your head. But I had this awesome identity. Look how great I am. You know what? When they shave your head and everyone else around you gets your head shaven, you don't feel so cool. I just remember looking around, people looking in the mirror. I mean, guys were crying. They're head shaved. See, when you get in the military, there's certain things that they require of you to do, but there's also great things you do. See, when you're proving yourself, as we go to basic training, there's things, and as you go through the military, they give you these different outfits. After you go from the hair getting shaved off and everything stripped away from you, your clothes, they give you a new set of clothes. You get a set of blues, a set of greens, and you get four pairs of shoes. You get your jump boots. You get your black shiny dress, black shoes. And then you get some shower shoes, and then you get tennis shoes. And as you progress from graduating basic training, you get sharpshooter, there's senior airman below the zone, there's TDY, there's all these different things, a long-term overseas. Then you start wearing, these are my ribbons that I got, and you start wearing these in your blue uniform, and it tells people, hey, I've experienced some things, and I've accomplished some things, and I can move on. Another thing that tells you is by the stripes on the side of your shirt. There's one when you go in, it's airman basic, then airman, and then you get airman, senior airman, and then you keep going up to sergeant, tech sergeant, staff sergeant, master sergeant. See, God's job, my job, pastor's job, is to equip everyone to go from one bar to eight. Continuously striving to get that all filled. But after you get to, but you have to buy into the commands and the laws. And what that looks like is, after you get your head shaved, they give you dog tags. These are my dog tags from the military. They go, here you go. I go, what's this for? So we can identify you when you die. I go, okay. And on it, it has your name, it has your social security number, branch of service, and what denomination or religion you are. Mine says Pentecostal. So he goes, so what we have to do is when you die, we know who you are, and then we'll figure out how we're going to bury you, what type of service. Everyone will got these. We all have shaved heads, and we all have dog tags. We all start looking alike. Right off on the outside, we all start looking alike. Then they give you a security drawer. After you have a full-size locker where all your clothes get hung up in, and then underneath that is a 2-foot by 2-foot drawer. In that is, it says, a white towel folded in half. It covers the entirety of the bottom of that drawer. In it is the contents that you use to get ready every single day, from toothpaste, toothbrush, soap, from liquid soap to a soap, actual bar of soap in a container, shaving cream, and no combs, by the way. Just throw that there. Somebody asked that, and he goes, really? Okay, so these are the contents of our drawer. In our 360-page manual that we had to read throughout basic training, the drawer would open up, and at the bottom left-hand corner, 2 inches from the front of the drawer, but 1 inch from the left, your toothpaste should go with the spout facing out. 2 inches to the north of that, or off the left, 1 inch off the side, your shaving cream, with no shaving cream residue left on the outside. On the upper right-hand corner of the drawer, that would be where your razor would be at with no hair on it. Imagine. I shaved, but I can't leave any hair on that which I shaved with. No one used the shaving cream because it took too long. So you had a bunch of 18-year-old guys sweaty all the time, much of them faces filled with acne, not using shaving cream, and you got 3 minutes to get ready, and it was kind of gory watching them all shave. No blood, no nothing left on because it was a white towel. They had all these 7 components sitting in this drawer, all with inches away from each other, and the manual told you how to do it. And what they gave me, this is the actual lock and key that I had in basic training. I kept it all these years, and I'll tell you why in a second. The technical instructor, this key stayed around your dog tags around your neck. He said, now, that security drawer at all times will look like that, except for when you're getting ready. At any given time, I will check your drawer to see what shape it's in. He said, and you can't use an excuse that it was somebody else because you're the only one that has the key, and myself, I'm the only. There's only two keys. I have it and you have it. There's no excuse. You take care of what's been given unto you. Well, I had went in. A lot of guys know what they're going to do when they get in. Mine was computer communications. My background was in math in high school, from probability statistics and trig and calculus and all those things. And I was going in for programming and doing binary coded hexadecimal. It's probably boring to you all, but this is what I was going in. It's like, man, this is what I'm going to do. So you imagine that type of mindset, and they're telling you you have to keep your toothpaste 2 inches from the drawer on the side. And when I'm looking in my mind, I'm saying, this is dumb. I'm 18. I know it all. But there is two young gentlemen a couple bunks away from me who are going to be mechanics on F-16s. They decided to voice that it was dumb. It was very funny, actually, to watch. I watched him as their drawer was opened by the TI, and he looked at their drawer, and he goes, hey, what's this? And they go, what? And they go, this stuff is totally messed up. He goes, you know what? I think this is dumb. And he goes, what are you going to be, son? He says, I'm going to work on F-16s. I'm going to be a mechanic. He said, I don't know about you, but if I was a pilot and I knew that you couldn't keep toothpaste 2 inches from a drawer, I wouldn't trust you to put a screw on the plane to actually keep it in flight when I'm in the air. He goes, you have to be tested before you get to work on anything. He says, well, I still think it's dumb. He says, I think it's dumb that you just threw away your career in the military because of toothpaste. He's gone, dishonorable discharge. Even the things that we don't understand in God's word, even the things that doesn't make sense to us, I can't believe that. In the natural, doesn't make any sense. God's not asking him. He said, do you trust me? In their mindset, it's like, this is dumb. Toothpaste? Who cares about toothpaste? What is it? Who cares? He goes, I got to try you on the toothpaste. Who cares about fasting? I got to try you on fasting. If you can say no that it was good, I can trust you to say no, which is bad. But I have to try you. I have to test you along the way. I have to see if you can advance. He who's faithful to little can be trusted in much. Then there was food. Growing up, my dad grew up on an 800-acre farm. They met at North Central Minnesota. My mom was raised in South Dakota. So we grew up on meat and vegetables, predominantly meat, but meat and vegetables. And I remember after 18 years of having to eat vegetables and spending 4 hours at the dinner table every single night because I wouldn't eat. Y'all had to do that? You cannot eat until your vegetables are gone. I would eat the meat first and just hopefully somebody would come along and I would get rid of the food somehow. I didn't know what was going to happen. That fake napkin thing, you throw it away, however I can scoop it in, whatever it is. But I was so great. When I got in the military, it's like, yes, I'm going to eat hot dogs and pizza all the time. This is going to be awesome. And I soon found out it wasn't awesome. You go to basic training, you can't even look in eye contact with the person who's serving you. Your head is down in a tray. First, they slop on some mystery meat. You have actually no idea what it is. Then you move to the left, and then they throw some type of potato, which, and then you keep going, there's vegetables. Everything has to be gone off your plate. You sit down at a table of four. You cannot look at the person at your table. You cannot talk to the person at your table. The TIs are sitting at a table of 12 with about 400 or 500 guys eating at every single 15-minute interval. And your head's down, you go, this is dumb, this is stupid, this is dumb. I remember the first time we sat down, all the rules weren't kicking in, and I looked at that meat, and I'm thinking, man, what would really be good with some gorgonzola breaded butter on top of this thing? I got past that and thinking, they probably don't have that. I raised my hand, the TI came over to our table, what do you want, Aaron? And I said, do you have any A1 sauce? This meat is not very good. I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase, drop and give me 50. Man, I was huge by the end of basic training. I was just. But what I found out, our TI was actually looking out for us. He knew down the road if we could follow the rules and something that didn't make any even sense, what's the big deal if I look up at my eyes at someone? He goes, man, if you can do that, I can trust you for the thing. See, everyone started on the same page, regardless of what you're going into, if you're going to be a mechanic, if you're going to be a driver, if you're going to work in the chow, it doesn't matter. We all started, we were eating the same thing, we were training the same way, we were reading the same 360-page manual, we were learning the same combat skills. Everyone was training together, and it was miraculous. After 8 weeks, everyone started to look like each other. See, before we just had a shaved head in the same uniform. But now, our bodies, everyone started looking the same because we were all training the same way. We were all talking about what we were learning because everyone was studying the same thing. After 2 months, it was incredible what everyone looked like. It didn't matter if you were from New York, from Tennessee, from California. It didn't matter your nationality, how high, tall, big, how you were. Everyone started looking the same. Guys who were weak became strong. Guys who were slow became fast. You had to. Guys, it was just incredible what was taking on. But see, when we first went in, no one wants to listen to authority. What do they know? I'm 18. I know everything. When we get 60, we think we know everything, and authority doesn't have to be over us. We think they're trying to hold us down, but actually what they're doing is they're trying to advance us. They've seen, they've trained, they've taught, and they know what's best for someone to train. By the end of basic training, my opinion of Tech Sergeant Pavey, my TI, had totally changed from a man who I despised to someone I just loved and hugged before we left. In Ephesians, for time's sake, Chapter 4, I'm going to paraphrase this for you, and not out of context, but just highlight some of the verses. And in verse 11, God says he's given us preachers, teachers, pastors to equip us so that we may live lives expressly according to God's word, trained up in God's word. Verse 22, so strip yourselves of your former nature, which characterized your previous way of living. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind and fresh mental and spiritual workings. The job of the pastor, preacher, teacher isn't to be boastful and say, I'm over you. It's to say, I want to see you succeed, and this is what God has placed me. I didn't despise our technical instructor at the end of it. I understood his role, and he was looking out for me. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of saints and the work of the ministry, we need to continually be on the milk, get off the milk and get on the meat of ministry so we can perfect in our walk with Christ. In 2 Timothy, it charges the pastors to preach and teach the word even if they want to hear it or not. Because I don't care, you know what, stage one, here you go. Stage two, food, here you go. Stage three, you might spit out some, but it's the stuff that you keep because we all need to be hearing the same thing. We all need to be listening to the same thing. We all need to be doing the same thing. In verse 13, Paul said of Ephesians 4, till we all come to the unity of faith. And since we're all not going to come into the unity of faith until Jesus comes, we still all have to be under authority and still have to be under God's word and continuously growing. Why? Ephesians 4:14 says, so we no longer may be like children, tossed to and fro every single time something happens. We need to stop being like children. Not stop having childlike faith, but stop being like children. Well, how do you know when someone's still a child? When Zach and Paige were younger, when they didn't get their way, I don't know about you, sometimes they threw a fit. Anybody? Anybody have children? Like, yeah, it's like I did the same thing. My mom told me I didn't, but I don't believe it. She told me I was a perfect angel. Zach and Paige, if they didn't get one, you know, sometimes you pout or you jump on the floor and you start kicking your feet, right? I wanted this for dinner. I can't imagine Zach at 6'3", 23 years old, Mom, what's for dinner tonight? Well, I wasn't able to store and get your chicken, so we're going to have leftover spaghetti. Can you imagine if Zach dropped to the floor and started kicking his feet? Spinning around, and he's like, man, I want the spaghetti. I want the... Zach, I walk. What are you doing? You need to grow up, son. And Paige, what do you mean we're not having dessert tonight? And she jumps on the floor next to him and just starts kicking her legs. I'm looking. I go, wait, have we not matured just because you didn't get what you liked? Well, you guys are just out to get us. No, we love you. We know what's best for you. This is what we need to do. We understand it in the natural realm, but in the supernatural realm, we have a hard time grasping that. Because as we get to adults, in church life, in the Bible, in following the Bible, there's too many Christians. We look at this, we look in the mirror and go, that's not me, and then we go act like a child. From how do we explain ourselves? We defend ourselves. We have to go share stories and, oh, what did you hear about them? Oh, I hate them too then. If they did that to you, oh, I hate. You don't even know that side of the story. What that proves is you're still on the milk and not on the meat of the word. First Corinthians, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child, but now I become a man, I put away childish things. So then he says, rather let your lives lovingly express truth in everything, enfold in love, and grow up in every way in all things. What are all things? God's word. We need to grow up in God's word. Jesus didn't come and said, look how restricted I am. I follow all of God's commands and look how pitiful my life is. No, he said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. I'm going to live by the law and watch what's going to happen, you guys. I have this power like I never before. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to speak only that what the Father speaks to me. And supernatural things are going to happen in my life. You're going to see it. And 2,000 years later, we're still reading about these supernatural things. Why? Because he was obedient unto death. It was obedience. Oh, no, he was supernatural because he was obedient unto the Father. Pastor Grant, this is kind of rough. I'm not saying this. I love this. Philippians 4:17. I'm not saying this because I desire a gift. I'm not trying to make money on the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a teacher, but I desire fruit that may be abound to your account. Because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and like everyone wants to preach, oh, let's just preach happy and stuff, and just let's just preach love, love, love. If you love me, keep my commands. Anyone who preaches love all the time without the commands is the deceiver. Oh, we just need to love, love, love. Get rid of this. Let's just love, 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 love. No, this is love. God is love. God is love. Oh, how I love thy law. I love thy commands. I'm going to conclude today with graduation. Graduation at basic training. It's great. You're in those dress blues. You're marching in line and everyone's clapping. Wow, they made it through basic training. They proved that they understand the basics of the military. From your body to the work ethic, you've passed something. You did some basic things in pressure and we're rewarding you. Now you go into your next assignment. That next assignment now becomes more detailed than the basic assignment. For me, computer communications. I went to tech school. I left San Antonio, Texas, basic training, now to go to Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. We had school every single day, five nights a week from 6 p.m. till midnight. We had 2 15-minute breaks. That's why I learned to drink coffee just to stay awake. But we only had to do our PE now 2 times a week as opposed to 5 times a week. Why? Because they showed you in the physical how to take care of your body, and they assumed you're going to now keep up to the standards which you would be tested on periodically to make sure you met the weight restrictions and the muscle and the running capabilities and the push-ups and sit-ups. So you have to do that on your own. We're going to still test you on it, but we're not going to corporately keep doing this because we understand that you passed the basics and you're going to learn this on yourself. But now we want to take you to advanced training for what God has called you, where there's some technical things that you're going to have to learn. As we would march down the street to school every single night at 6 o'clock, you go through subdivisions on these bases, and you're passing houses, and we have our blues on, our black shiny shoes, and man, we got our ribbons on, and we got that hat on, and we have briefcases on, and we're all marching together. Boom, boom, left, left, left. I mean, this is awesome. There was such freedom compared to basic training. I remember the first time we went to the Chow Hall in Biloxi, Mississippi. It was incredible. We walked in. It was nothing like the Chow Hall in basic training. Actually, like a restaurant. And I'm just looking around, and people were talking to each other. It's like, we can talk. I was just like, well, we got in line. You still had this tray, but as I looked at what they were offering, there was steaks, fillets, ribeyes, T-bone, shrimp, swordfish, Chilean sea bass. I mean, there's all this stuff in front of me. I'm like, oh, it wasn't even cooked yet. It was just like, I could pick whatever I want. It's like, oh, I began to tear up. It was one of those moments. You have mystery meat for 8 weeks. You'd cry like a baby too. There was an officer in front of me, in line next to me. It was the officer's chow hall. And this is where it was just where it was convenient for us to stop there on the way to school. And he could tell I was just looking. He goes, you all right? He goes, is this your first day here? I go, yeah. He goes, when you get past basic, this is how you eat. I go, what do you mean? He said, now you're getting on to the real meat. He goes, just so you know, he goes, you're more advanced. They expect more of you. But as a result of that, you need to eat like this in order to sustain this level. So many people, during my time in basic training, 4 people dropped out. You get three strikes. It's called a washout. You keep going back, back, back. The more you get knocked out, the higher likelihood of it you will just drop out altogether, because you don't understand that first time of obedience, and I trust regardless of what's happening. See, if you stay in basic training for too long, you will eventually wash out of your walk with Christ because you don't see the power in it. You don't see the rewards. You don't see him moving and advancing forward. You don't see the miraculous start taking place. You don't see the answers to prayer because you don't even pray because you don't even know the word. My job is to help us get onto the meat of the word. It's to get onto the job. I want to move forward in my walk with Christ. And I do believe, I strongly believe, we're just praying and fasting this week with everybody in the last 2 weeks. This body of believers is ready to move on and get off the milk and get onto the meat of the word. Let me ask you to stand this morning. Reverend South, you come to the piano. In Hebrews 6, it says, therefore, let us go on past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah. Let's start advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of faith with teachings about purifying and laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and the eternal judgment punishment. He's not saying those are wrong. He's saying, how many times are you going to go through this and not get it? How many times do you want to keep arguing scriptures? How many times do you want to not just say, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that? Fine, you get basic training again. But I'm telling you, there's a whole other way to live in the kingdom of God. There's a whole other way to eat in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is just not meat or drink what you like. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. There is so much more out there. See, I decided 17 years ago, God, I'm tired of my old way of living. He goes, Grant, if it's true, show me. And ever since then, following Christ, he moves you. He takes you places that you never thought you could be. I've seen miraculous things happen, not just with my children, not with my wife, in our family as well. As verse 2 continues, it says, these are all matters which you should have been fully aware of long, long ago. I'm not talking about babes now in the word who just got saved. I'm talking about those of us who have been in the walking with Christ for a while. So, verse 3, if indeed God permits, if you're still here, then God permitted us to be here. We will now then proceed to advanced teaching. We need to get onto the meat of the word, everyone. There are fundamentals that we need to understand. I understand that. But we need to go forward. Stop spending time rehashing and go over all these things and set your mind, God, I believe every single word. I believe it. I may not understand it, but I believe every single thing you're trying to tell me. Paul's saying in there, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Here it is. I understand it. Let's get on with it, everybody. Let's go see these miraculous things happen. Let's see restoration in our marriages. Let's see financial miracles take place. Let's see physical healings take place. Let's see the body of Christ grow in the oneness that Paul says that we can have. How is that? Getting on the meat of the word and being obedient to God's word. I'm going to close with this passage before we pray. King David, who said he loved God's law, also said in 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10, and 1 Chronicles 28 and 20, he was giving instructions, handing the kingdom over to Solomon. Solomon, God considered the wisest man ever. David spent those chapters preceding that telling Solomon, this is how you need to do your life in the kingdom, and it's through this. And I love that in verse 9 and 10 and verse 20, he said, you know what to do, now just go do it. Just go do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to start working on people's hearts right now. Areas in their life, and we all have those areas that we've been disobedient in. Maybe it's how we talk about someone at work. Maybe it's those in authority over us that we continuously question, and we're not obedient to that. In our own private life, maybe there's some things that we're struggling with. There's these sins, and we've rationalized it away where we don't really think it's that big deal anymore. Maybe we've placed our money or our bodies or our fun or even our families, God, before you. But we're not living in obedience unto you. You said, seek first the kingdom of God, which is your word, and all that is right. And then you would add all that other stuff onto us. It's a promise in your word. So as the last 3 weeks that we've studied and we've grown, not just in disciplining our bodies, as Paul said, to buffet our bodies. Father, we need to buffet our natural man because his desire, even Paul said, man, I wake up in the morning, I'm doing things I don't want to do, and the things I do want to do, I don't get it. Father, we need to humble ourselves every single day before you. Because I do want to see the miraculous take place, not just in my life, but in the whole body of Christ. Until we all grow in unity in the faith and grow perfect, and that will never happen until you come back. So we need to continuously be perfect. I pray for heads of households right now, for the men in this church. Bible instructs us we're priests of the home. With that becomes a mantle, responsibility. I do believe as the man goes, so will that household go. Your wife may be a godly woman. She can only do so much for those children, for that household. God, I pray for humble spirits across the men of this church right now to get back into obedience with you. That is first to give you thanks in everything that we have. It's to follow your laws, to love your precepts, to give you worship in everything that we have with our monies, with our time, time in the word, time in worship. Father, for the women all across the sanctuary this morning, I just pray a supernatural healing today in their bodies, in their emotions, relationally. Maybe things have happened. But Father, will we do it? And will we handle those situations according to your word? That's the only place where healing takes place, is when we handle it according to your word. For every young person in here today, single people as well, follow God's rules. Follow his laws. He will bless you. He will prosper you in the way that you should go. The plans that he has for you aren't to harm you. They're to prosper you. Father, I thank you for the word that you've allowed me to bring forth the last 3 weeks. I pray, as it says, will not return void. But you have commanded us not to just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And everything that we have. We give you glory this morning, God, because from the moment we humbled ourselves and began to pray and worship, you said the answer's on the way. And also, as the word says to do, we celebrate and we give praise unto you because we know the victory is here. So even today, as we go celebrate, and that is the feastings throughout the word, people celebrated and they feasted. Father, I pray you just to continue of that today. As we celebrate you, it's not just what you've done, but what you're going to do. We're celebrating in advance what you're going to do because that is a measure of our faith. We give you all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, everyone. Have a great afternoon. Eat to your heart's desire and celebrate what God is going to do in your life.